following audio was originally recorded live and broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on October 11th, 2019. I'm Justin Evangelo. This is Disenabled, the show where we enable the disabled. So happy to be back for this week's episode. In my travels, I just so happened to cross a CBC article that caught my attention, and it segues beautifully into my interview segment today. The title of it is called, Boxing Changed My Life. Adaptive Sport Gets People with Disabilities into the Ring. It was published in May, so it's dated a little bit. And it's about people in wheelchairs duking it out. Now, I don't mean to say that offensively, but with advancements in wheelchair technology, I think this would be amazing to watch in the Paralympics. It not only is inclusive for those who are living with paralysis or lower body injuries from birth, it's also helping people like veterans or people who've been in traumatic accidents at work and such get into the ring and be active. The article talked about a swimmer who lost both of her legs in a terrible accident. And now she's doing this to stay active. It's so great. People are talking about, of course, there's always haters. People are talking about the dangers of, well, boxing as a sport, you know, it can lead to head injuries and whatnot, which is true. But in this instance, there are rules and regulations where you can't haul off and throw haymakers. And plus, you're restricted somewhat in the specialized wheelchair they have for this event. There's a huge push to try to get it into the Paralympics, which I think is amazing. It's just a step forward in showing that people who have physical disabilities are just as capable as anybody else of staying active and being as athletic. These programs that are starting up this event and getting it into the mainstream are mostly out of British Columbia so far, and they're spreading east. So there's one in Alberta and one in Manitoba out of Winnipeg, from what the article said. And as I said before, there's nothing but positives with this. Now, segueing beautifully into my next segment, I caught up with a good friend of mine. Her name's Kayla Gaspar, and she took the time graciously to talk to me and you, whoever decides to listen courteously, about her disability. Now, I won't go into too much more detail, and I hope you enjoy. All right, I'm here with my good friend, Kayla Gaspar, who is here to talk to us briefly about her experiences with a physical disability. So, what disability would that be?
It's kind of hard to pinpoint what it is, but the cause was meningococcal meningitis, which is a bacterial infection that can cause like paralysis and limb loss and brain damage and a whole bunch of different stuff, deafness too. But for me, it slowed my growth plates and caused them to stop early, which has made me have a whole bunch of muscle and joint problems and has made me look different than the average person.
Okay, so different for all those who can't see, obviously, you're shorter than the average person.
Yeah, I am.
So can you describe your daily life in terms of any sort of struggles you may have with some tasks that people take for granted?
I'd say for me, it's just the walking and the standing.
Okay.
Like even for me to walk down the hall or even just like walking to class or the hall, like literally anything, it causes me some pain and discomfort. Which sucks. And I feel like a lot of the time people take for granted that they can just go for a walk, walk down the hall and be fine and feel any pain.
Yeah.
But I don't really have that.
Obviously. So is it extreme pain over a long time?
Yeah, it depends. Like if it's just a short period period of time, it's more discomfort than pain. Okay. But if it's like even like 20 minutes, that's really long for me.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you had this then? Been living with, well, these challenges and this diagnosis?
That's hard to pinpoint too, because as an infant, that's when I got meningitis. And then okay. The problems kind of started when my growth plates closed. Like growing up, I was okay. And then when they closed, that's when the problems started, because the rest of me kept growing, but my legs didn't. Okay. So maybe
right.
Like
so your upper four. Half is proportional to yeah. what it would be for a normal 18, 19 year old, and your lower half just stopped completely.
Yeah, my lower half, okay. Like my legs are literally shorter than my arms.
Right.
So like they're very short. Okay. Yeah.
speaking of the challenges then, what's the craziest or most frustrating, just out there experience okay. you've had in your life that you could pinpoint? I know that's a huge question.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people have experienced a lot worse, but for me, it would be people like taking pictures of me. Like mm-hmm. people will sometimes so obviously record or take pictures, and it's honestly really dehumanizing. And I don't know if they have dehumanized me themselves and that's why they feel it's okay, or if it just feels like that to me. But yeah, that's probably the worst, because no one wants their picture taken, even if they don't have a disability.
And,
but,
and you obviously notice this, right?
Yeah,
you
and see, it's obviously like degrading me. Like mm-hmm. it's not people taking a picture of me because I'm like so awesome. Like it's people taking a picture of me to be like mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay, so you're facing these challenges and you've dealt with them for a long time. When you first started facing them, was it difficult for you, or did you just learn to embrace them because you didn't know any different?
I'd say that it was kind of not like that really,
okay.
because I grew up kind of normal mm-hmm. when all this started happening, when I hit puberty and like I started like growing.
Yeah.
It was a change for me, because all of a sudden people would stare at me and I'd be like, why? Because at first I didn't even
right.
realize.
Right.
Like, I was like, what's different?
That, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it was like kind of new to me.
In turn, I never actually thought about that where you wouldn't notice until someone pointed it out to you.
Yeah.
Because obviously, from what you said, you're raised in such a normal environment. I'm assuming that means family-wise, right?
Yeah.
Family's where pretty normal. You're treated as an equal in that setting. And then mm-hmm. unless you're told out in public that you have something different about you,
yeah.
you're not going to notice.
As a child, you're not really focused on
for
your
sure,
looks
right.
anyway. So no, it's like not something you really
right.
realize.
Right, it's not something you're conscious of
tells you.
Until, you know, you said around puberty
yeah.
time, around your teen years.
Yeah.
One final question then, actually two final questions, because I can't count properly. The first one being, what's been your biggest support, or I guess multiple supports if you have them, helping you to not fight through, but stay sane as you've taken on this disability?
I'd say my main supports would be my friends and family. Like,
that's great.
Being
that's
there
awesome.
For me to vent.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky to have such a nice family and like a supportive family, mm-hmm. but they're always there for me to vent. And even physically too, like if I'm having a bad day, like my mom would drive me to the bus stop or
that's
like
so
let me stay home from school.
Right.
Like, yeah, like being really supportive that way. And
that's,
I'm really lucky to have that.
That's good. So wrap up then, my final question for you would be, what's one piece of advice you would give to people with a similar physical disability?
I would say there's like two types, I could say, like
okay.
emotional and physical.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say emotionally, you need to not let your disability define you. Because mm-hmm. I feel like in society, people are going to do that anyway, and you can't control it. But you can't do that to yourself. And you can't
that's,
live in a box
yeah,
because
true.
Of your disability.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to just forget about it and just do your thing and not worry about anyone else. But physically, I'd say just ask for help when you need it. Because for me, it's kind of hard sometimes because I'm embarrassed to ask for help, or I don't want people to think that I can't do it myself. So
right.
I'll try to avoid asking for help,
mm-hmm.
but then I'm stuck because I need help and then
mm-hmm.
I'm in pain and I'm
yeah.
like, ah, this is not
yeah.
so good.
It
but,
would be difficult to manage in a situation
yeah.
like that for sure.
Yeah, so I'd say ask for help when you need it. Don't be embarrassed by it and don't let it define you.
That's awesome. Kayla Gaspar, everybody, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your day to do this. I really appreciate it.
Great, great stuff from Kayla. Thank her so much for joining me again. I can't say that enough. That was a great interview, especially for my first one. I just want to make a few points about Kayla's interview. I know we're running tight for time here, so I'll make it brief. The part about taking pictures, I never really considered. And that's something, obviously, that's obvious to a lot of people because I'm visually impaired. I get a lot of weird looks myself when I'm passing by, and I don't want to make this about me, when I'm passing by passerbys, and she does too, for a completely different reason. But when you have a difference as significant and noticeable as either height impairment, shall we say, or vertical challenges, let's not get too politically correct, or visual impairment or something along those lines, it's difficult to cope with if you know about people taking pictures of you, because like Kayla said, they're not taking pictures of me because I'm so awesome. They're taking pictures of me because I'm different. And they're poking fun. And in this age of digital media, where anyone can post anything, anywhere, it just leaves the opportunity for bullying so much wide open. It's not good. The ignorance and rudeness of people is, well, a two-part problem. Rudeness, I've already touched on that. A lot of people have good intentions, but their good intentions are sometimes misplaced. I'll give you an example. There was one time in orientation week, because she's a first year too at Trent, like I am. We were with a group of friends. There was this food truck, and the window was super high up. She went to get her order, but she couldn't reach the window. She almost ended up wearing her food because they had to drop it. And guess what? She just couldn't catch it. And when someone asked her if she wanted help, she said no, because she was scared. And I asked them, well, how would you want to help her? And they said, oh, I was just going to lift her up. This was after the fact. She doesn't know about this. Like, oh, I was just going to give her a boost up. And they weren't joking. I couldn't believe it. Final point I want to make. Back to the pictures. The reason why people with physical disabilities are so hesitant to ask for help, they're so fearful, is because of the mockery they receive. There's a lot more people out there, in my humble opinion, who will be mean, cruel, and mock you behind your back. So if you want to put a stop to wondering why there's a fear of asking for help in terms of those with physical disabilities, stop taking pictures and overtly drawing attention to the disability, whatever it may be, in a derogatory way. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. To all listening, take this story, share it, think about it, discuss it. I'd love to have it spread to as many dinner tables as possible this weekend. Have a good one, and enjoy your Thanksgiving, guys.